Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon, a letter of the Apostle Paul, which you can find in your Bibles right before the book of Hebrews. A New Testament book, the book of Philemon, a letter written by the Apostle Paul to Philemon, inspired by God's Spirit. We will focus mostly on the first two verses of the letter, but I want to read the entire letter for the sake of context and also so that you will recognize the flow of the letter itself. So we'll be reading Philemon verses 1 through 25. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier in the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but by your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Thus, the reading of God's word this morning from Philemon. Keep in mind that in your bulletins is an outline of this morning's message. And on the opposite side is the scripture reading from Philemon, so that as you follow along, not only the sermon outline, but the text, you may have in front of you the same version from which I will be preaching from. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, as you know, today is Mother's Day, which means it's a day set aside to honor all mothers. And with our sermon series in the book of Genesis, with the next passage being about God's judgment and fire coming down on Sodom and Gomorrah, I've decided for the first time in several years to instead preach a Mother's Day sermon. And today's sermon is about a woman in the Bible that you probably do not know much about. A woman in Scripture that is honored by the Apostle Paul for her service unto the Lord. A woman that you see in verse 2 of our text, named Apphia. The Apostle Paul, in this letter, is honoring Apphia. Now, how do we know that she is honored? Because the Apostle Paul has written 13 letters, of which you find in your Bibles. And in the book of Philemon, where Apphia is mentioned, this is the only letter of Paul in the Bible which includes a woman's name in the list of those to whom the letter is written and sent. In all other letters of the Apostle Paul, he will mention a church, or sometimes he will mention the elders and the deacons of the church, like he does in Philippians, or even sometimes a specific person to whom the letter is written to, like Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy, or Titus in the book of Titus. But this letter to Philemon is unique in that it is the only one of Paul's 13 letters in the Bible where a woman's name is specifically singled out as to whom this letter is sent. If you were to look at the beginning of the letter, you would see that along with the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul is mentioning five names. Paul, verse 1, Timothy, verse 1, Philemon, verse 2, Apphia, verse 2, and Archippus, verse 2. As you go to the end of the letter, you will also see that the apostle ends the letter with five names along with the Lord Jesus. We see it in verse 23, Epaphras, along with Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, whom Paul describes as his fellow workers. There are fellow workers described at the beginning of the letter. Philemon is described as a fellow worker. And at the end of the letter, there are five fellow workers described, all of whom belong to the Lord Jesus. These five names at the beginning, these five names at the end are important in recognizing that as Paul is singling them out, he is singling out their service unto the Lord and how useful they have been, not only to him as the Lord's apostle, but also in their service unto him. But now think about for a moment what that means. At the beginning of the letter, you have such names as Paul and Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ, and Timothy, who has traveled with him and served with him. At the end of the list, you see such names as Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, and Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, along with the book of Acts. These are important names that are part of the foundation of the Church of Christ. And Paul includes amongst those names a woman whose name is Apphia. In other words, she is honored, and certainly in this letter, in very important and good company. Well, why does the apostle mention Apphia's name here at the beginning of the letter? To answer that question, you must understand something about the purpose of the letter, which we have read as a whole a moment ago. For one thing, we know that Philemon, to whom this letter is primarily written, is a wealthy man. We know that from the end of verse 2, where it says that the church meets in his house. In the Roman world, if you had a house so large that a church could meet in it, certainly that indicated a large house, and certainly a house that was of a good size of only a wealthy person could own. We also see later in the letter that the Apostle Paul in verse 22 is saying unto Philemon to prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers I will be graciously given to you. So not only does he have a house large enough to host the church in it, but he secondly has a house that has a guest room. Again, an indication of a large house for that time period and that place in the world. But what's more, an indication of Philemon's wealth is the fact that he is a slave owner. Onesimus is his former slave who has run away. And as a slave owner, that would be an indication of a man of wealth, someone who is well-to-do. An owner of slaves in that day, in that time period, another indication of wealth. Well, the occasion then of this letter is that Onesimus, the slave of Philemon, has run away. And having left his master and left him behind, we don't know exactly why he ran away, he has come in contact with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, who is in prison because he has been proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, as he has come into contact with Onesimus, tells us in verse 16 that Onesimus, the runaway slave, through the Apostle Paul's ministry, has become a believer. You notice verse 15. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. The slave Onesimus, the bondservant to Philemon, has become a believer, a brother in the Lord, someone who in his service, even as a slave, his identity on earth, is valuable to Paul and is valuable before the Lord in how he serves him and lives for him. And so the occasion of the letter, the purpose of the letter, is that the Apostle Paul is now sending Onesimus back home to Philemon. This runaway slave is now being returned to the slave owner, Philemon. And we know from Roman history and historical data that runaway slaves who were returned to their masters were often treated very harshly and very, very severely. So the apostle is writing this letter to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus, who has become a believer. He is writing a letter in such a way that it would be an appeal to Philemon, that he would, Onesimus, be received back and not treated harshly, but treated as now not only a slave, a bondservant, but as a brother in the Lord. And so the apostle, as he writes this letter, has a particular approach to Philemon, which comes out both in the beginning and the end of this letter. It is an approach in which the apostle is now going to exalt the lesser unto equality in the Lord in terms of service. Now, what do we mean by that? It means that what the apostle wants to do in this letter, especially at the beginning of the letter, in these first two verses, is to take those who, in terms of the world's status and their status before the Lord, they may be seen in the world's eyes as a lesser, but in the Lord's eyes, they are exalted as an equal in Christ. In other words, the apostle is going to take the names that include such people as Mark, a gospel author, Luke, a gospel author, Paul, an apostle, and he's going to put everyone and their service to the Lord at the same level of importance unto him. Do you understand then the second thing about this first verse of the letter, which stands out from all of the other letters of the Apostle Paul that you find in the Bible? And that is that at the very beginning of the letter, the Apostle identifies himself as a prisoner for Christ. Philemon is the only letter of Paul that starts out with Paul identifying himself as a prisoner. Now think about that. In the other letters of Paul, we are seeing him being described as an apostle of Christ Jesus. An apostle of importance because as an apostle, he has been given the authority of God to write an inspired letter, a letter which is inspired to be God's word. As an apostle, his unique qualification, having been sent out on the road and meeting the Lord Jesus from heaven itself. The Lord Jesus in Acts 9 shines a bright light down from heaven and stops the apostle in his tracks as someone who is persecuting the church, and he changes his whole focus, his whole mindset. He appears to Paul in his resurrected state from heaven. And the Lord Jesus specifically tells the apostle that he is going to be a firsthand witness who will carry the gospel, the resurrected Christ, and the message of salvation unto the ends of the earth. So the apostle Paul is a special man, chosen by Christ, a firsthand witness of the resurrection. And yet, in this letter, unlike all of the rest, he does not identify himself as an apostle, but he identifies himself as a prisoner. A prisoner, yes, on earth, in Rome. But in the beginning of the letter, he identifies himself as a prisoner for Christ Jesus. You see, his earthly status is a prisoner, a low status in terms of earthly society. But before the Lord, he has recognized that the reason he is a prisoner on earth is because of his love for Christ. Because as he has preached the gospel of Christ unto the ends of the earth, he has been arrested. He has been put in prison for his faithfulness and his service unto the Lord. And so when it comes to the earthly focus in terms of who he is and what he has accomplished, he is the low status of a prisoner. Though he is, in God's eyes and in the church's eyes on earth, an apostle of Christ. One of the few unique ones in terms of the history of the Church of Christ. And so as he begins this letter to Philemon, he begins with himself being lowered to his earthly status, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and he says, and Timothy, our brother. Now, as you look at the beginning of this letter, it would seem on the surface that what the apostle is doing is equating himself to Timothy. That they are the co-writers of the letter. This letter is sent from Paul the prisoner for Christ Jesus and Timothy our brother, as if they are one and the same. As if Paul the apostle and Timothy his brother are at the same level in terms of this letter being sent and written, though Timothy was not a first-hand witness of the resurrection of Christ and an apostle. It is as if they are being equated. And the way that Paul identifies Timothy is to say, Timothy, our brother, identified in his status as a brother in Christ. Not as a servant with Paul, not as somebody who is like his right-hand man, but his identity is the fact that Timothy is a brother in Christ. And as the apostle goes on there in verse 2, he goes on with the other names to continue to describe them also with that word "our." Their identity in terms of their service unto the Lord. To Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier. They're identified together as those who are in service unto the Lord. And as you see how Apphia in particular is identified, notice the parallel with the very first verse. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. And now as the recipients of the letter are listed, to Philemon, verse 2, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister. It's almost as if, as Paul and Timothy are identified together in terms of their service, Timothy, a brother in Christ, so now is Philemon, a fellow beloved worker of Paul and of Christ, identified with a woman, Apphia, as a sister in Christ. It comes across as if, as valuable as Timothy is to Paul, so as valuable is Apphia unto Philemon in his service unto the Lord as a fellow worker of Christ. Don't you see what the apostle is doing at the very beginning of this letter? Of all those names mentioned in the letter, they are now being lifted up, but not in terms of how the world sees them or their earthly status. That is not what is at stake here. They are lifted up in terms of who they are in Christ Jesus. Whether they are an apostle or a prisoner, whether they are male or female, whether they have written a book of the Bible or whether they have not, whether slave or free, they are all one in Christ Jesus. And when they are remembered in terms of what they have done and accomplished in this world, they are being lifted up to the same status even as a runaway slave is being lifted up. A runaway slave, a man in the world's eyes who is looked at as the lowest of low, owned by a slave owner, somebody who is required as a slave to serve his master as a slave because he's owned by him. And now in this letter, the apostle is lifting up that slave to the status of a brother. Do you see the wording in the text? In verse 2 it says, to Philemon our beloved what? Fellow worker. The word beloved, that's the only place it's used in the letter. One of the most intimate relationships that you can have with a person is to call them beloved. We even see in the New Testament, as Jesus is baptized, God says from heaven, this is my beloved Son. The relationship between the Father and the Son, the most intimate relationship in terms of the Trinity that anybody could know. Philemon is described as our beloved fellow worker. And do you see where the Apostle Paul uses that word a second time? Verse 16. Receive him, this is, verse 16, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother. He has lifted up in this letter the slave, though he is a slave on earth, to the status of a brother in Christ. And if you are a brother or sister in Christ, you are equal in status before the Lord. I've put there on your outlines Galatians 3:28, a verse which the apostle wrote in what many believe is the first letter of the Bible that he wrote. Galatians 3:28. Look what it tells us in that verse. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And that's what the apostle Paul is doing in this letter to Philemon. No matter who you are in terms of status in the world, a prisoner or a slave, no matter who you are, even in terms of your service to the Lord in this world, whether you've written a book of the Bible, whether you've been a firsthand witness of Christ in your life, as the Apostle Paul was to his resurrection, whether you are male or female, you are all one in Christ in terms of your importance as a person who serves in Christ's church, in terms of your importance of that service unto the Lord. And as you look again at the introduction to the letter, and you see the name of a woman, a woman's name who is uniquely recorded in this letter of Paul alone as far as a woman's name to whom the letter is written, we recognize then what the apostle is doing. As he's lowered his status from apostle to prisoner in the letter so that he's on the same level, as he's lifted the slave, Onesimus, up to the level of a brother in Christ, so he includes a woman's name to remind Philemon, to remind the church, that even though she's not a male, as a female, as a sister in Christ, her role, her service, her status before the Lord is on an equality with anyone else's service in the church. Whether they are an apostle, whether they've written a book of the Bible, whether they're a elder or deacon, the role that she serves as a sister in Christ before the Lord is as important and is as valuable as any of those other offices of service. Now, although we cannot be absolutely sure, the most common interpretation in the history of the church is that Philemon and Apphia are husband and wife. One reason the church has believed that is because of the meaning of the names. Apphia's name means, in terms of a term of endearment, it means in terms of something as we would know today as saying darling or sweetheart or sweetie. It's a name that was given to a woman or used in such a way as that term of endearment from a lover. We also know that the root of Philemon's name is kiss. An intimacy between these names has led the church to believe that they probably were husband and wife. We also know that the end of verse 2 states it this way: the church that meets in your house. The letter is written to Apphia. The letter is written to Philemon. And Paul sends the letter to them together and says, also greetings to the church that meets in your house. We know that as male and female, if they were not married, they would not live together in the house. And finally, you must remember why the Apostle Paul is writing this letter. Philemon and his family have a runaway slave. Paul is appealing to them, husband and wife, to receive back that runaway slave who has left them and run away from them, and to receive that runaway slave as a brother in Christ. And what then does that mean for Apphia? Apphia, when her name then is included, is honored as a sister in Christ. Philemon is described in verse 2 as a beloved fellow worker, but Apphia is right there next to him. As I said earlier in this sermon message, as you look at Paul, who describes himself as a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, they are introduced in this letter as the co-senders of the letter, as if there is Paul, Timothy is right with him. As the letter then describes the recipients, it's described in the same way. Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister. It's as if Paul begins by saying, as valuable as I am, so is Timothy valuable to me. And now Paul is saying concerning Philemon and Apphia, as valuable as Timothy is to me, so Apphia in her service is as valuable to Philemon. How does she serve? Well, if you look further in the letter, you see several things. For one, at the end of verse 2, she has a church meeting in her house. Philemon can't host a church that meets in his house all on his own. No doubt her service and help in hosting the church is valuable. We also see, again in verse 22, Paul has Philemon prepare a guest room. Again, is Philemon doing that all on his own? No doubt his wife, Apphia, is valuably serving him and serving the Lord as well in preparing that guest room to host an apostle of Christ Jesus to minister to the saints that meet in her home. The apostle is mentioning her name because he is honoring her and her service so that she and the church would know that her role as a sister in Christ, as a wife to Philemon, is as important of a role as her husband's role as the beloved fellow worker to whom Paul describes. They serve the Lord together as male and female, as what we believe and the history of the church has said, husband and wife, an important role, as important as even a slave who becomes a believer and serves now the Lord. Paul sends the letter because Onesimus, the former slave, will serve the Lord and do something important. Just as Apphia, a sister in Christ, serves the Lord and does things that are valuable and important. And the reason we put her before you today on Mother's Day is to encourage all the sisters in Christ that even though you may not be called to be an apostle, you may not be called as a sister to be an elder or a deacon in the church, even though you will never be a husband and the head of your home, your role as a wife, as a mother, as a sister, even as a single woman in the church, is an important role that God has given you to serve Him in this world as a sister in Christ. And you should never let anyone make you feel any less, as Paul describes it in this letter, for that service. A role that you play as a sister in Christ before the Lord that is so valuable unto Him. As I look at the ways that women serve here in our own congregation, over and over the service shines forth. As I think of the fellowship coordinators and their work of organizing fellowship activities, these are not things that I can do or even the men of the church could organize and do. The fellowship that is taking place, the love and care that is shown from one another, the ways of service, even such a simple thing as giving everyone a hug when they come to church. That is a valuable service unto the Lord. And on a day like Mother's Day, that is a service to be honored and thankful to the Lord for. But not only that, you notice in verse 2 that there is a third name in that verse. There is Philemon, who is described as our beloved fellow worker. There is Apphia, who is described as our sister. There is Archippus, who is described as our fellow soldier. Now, again, in recent times, there has been some speculation as to whom Archippus was. Some in more recent times have said, well, maybe he was the pastor of the church. But again, the most common interpretation throughout church history is that Archippus is the son of Philemon and Apphia. At the end of verse 2, he is included with his mom and dad in terms of the church to whom this letter is being sent. A church which meets where? In their house. And if he were the pastor, it would seem unusual that this letter would be sent to him with an appeal to receive back a runaway slave. If he were the pastor, you would think the pastor wouldn't need to hear that appeal. He would receive him as a brother in Christ warmly. But as a member of the family, this letter then is addressed to his parents and to him, who all live in that home. And what then does that mean for Apphia and for you on Mother's Day? It means that Philemon and Apphia together have raised a son who is described by Paul as a fellow soldier in the Lord. Philemon didn't do that alone. Each person in the family has their own important role to play, mom and dad, in raising that child to know the Lord and to be a fellow soldier of the Lord in that kingdom. This letter, I believe, is a letter that is written to a family that serves the Lord together. And together as mom and dad and his son, they perform their faithfulness before the Lord. And the Apostle Paul is including them in terms of their service at an equal level, even with the apostle himself, even with, as we've seen later in the letter, fellow apostles like Mark and Luke, who wrote books of the Bible. Their service is as valuable to the Lord as any other. And God is honoring that service. For Apphia, the role that she plays, she's described as a sister in Christ. She has taken church vows before the Lord to serve the Lord. She stands before the Lord all on her own, and she serves him as a wife, as a mother, and she is honored for that service. Our mothers today serve in that role and are valuable before the Lord. A father can't raise his family without his wife. Children cannot grow without their mom. And Mother's Day is a time where we can thank God for the mothers He gave us and honor them for the special role that they play in our lives. Today, let's honor those who serve in that role. Let's be reminded of the importance that they do as moms, as wives, as sisters. Let us give thanks to the Lord for their faithful service unto Him. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this letter to Philemon. We rejoice in the apostle who has written this letter, but has also drawn all those to whom the letter is received into him and the faithful service unto the Lord. Father, today we give thanks that not only does it speak of a lesser like a runaway slave, lifted up to the level of brother in Christ. But it reminds us as well of a wife, a mom, a sister in Christ, and how valuable her service is unto you. Father, today on Mother's Day, we do rejoice in the moms that you have given each one of us. We rejoice, Lord, in the faithful service of our sisters in Christ unto you. We pray, O Lord, that as they serve, they may do so recognizing how valuable you see their role to be. That they serve recognizing how important they are in what you have called them to be. And that you would enable us who love them and surround them to see them and treat them as valuable as they are unto you. We pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.